Welcome into the locker room. News Radio 610 KONA. The phone number is 547-1610. Presented by Jason Hogue, agent with American Family Insurance. Philly Rob, along with Keithon Fleming.
How's it going?
Member now of your new professional indoor football team, the Tri-City Rush. And we'll chat a little bit about what's going on with that. But first and foremost, we're going to talk some NFL because...
There's
certainly a lot to talk about. I mean, there is a lot to talk about. You've got, in my opinion, the matchup the NFL has wanted from the offseason.
Oh, definitely.
You got Tampa Bay, you got TB and TB12 against Patrick Mahomes, the heir apparent, and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
No question. The NFL was cackling, giggling, and high-fiving around the corporate offices when Tampa Bay won.
Definitely.
And when Kansas City won. Because in all reality, and let's be fair here, the only outcome that they would have been unhappy with is if Buffalo won.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes would have been fine, but not Buffalo.
Yeah.
In the meantime, us fans wanted to see Buffalo win because their fans would have put each other through flaming tables again, and probably even worse, and it would have been all over social media, and we would have sat back and gone, thank you, Buffalo, for making it to the Super Bowl, because now we have all this to watch.
I think it's good, man. I think the NFL is better when teams like Buffalo and Cleveland are playing good football, good quality football.
I still haven't been able to find anybody that can tell me when Buffalo and Cleveland won a playoff game in the same year.
Oh, I don't even know if I can tell you.
That's what I mean. I can't tell me. I mean, that's how long it's been that Buffalo and Cleveland won a playoff game in the same year.
Right.
So, you know, it's the matchup for Super Bowl 55 is there. It is Tom Brady, who I saw an insane statistic. Tom Brady, 47% of his career has resulted in a Super Bowl appearance. Steph Curry's three-point percentage for his career is 43%.
Yeah, I think I saw that one.
The likelihood of Tom Brady going to the Super Bowl is higher than Steph Curry hitting a three.
Yeah, it's
nuts.
I mean, I don't know what else to say about the guy. I mean, he's just Tom Brady, man.
That's it. Tom Brady. He's been to more Super Bowls than every franchise except for one, and that's the Patriots.
Right.
And he took them to nine.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Tom Brady has more Super Bowl appearances than every team in the NFL except the Patriots.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. And you know, another thing I try to put in perspective for people, and you know, I sent you a message, you know, telling you that I rarely ever even talk football outside of this station.
And we got to change it.
but having a conversation with a guy, you know, just telling him, just there's guys that playing. I mean, Phillip Rivers. How long he playing in the league? 17 years.
Yeah,
and never once made it to a Super Bowl.
Nope.
And Tom Brady just made it to 10.
It's insane, man. It is absolutely insane. I mean, it just—it's crazy. It is absolutely unbelievable. And let me get you, because this is floating around too. I'm really interested in your thought on this, because you've played for a number of coaches. Okay, there are people that are floating out there right now that the answer to the question of who meant more to the Patriots dynasty has already been answered, that it was Tom Brady, not Bill Belichick. With Tom Brady getting to the Super Bowl with a whole new coach and a whole new system and a whole new set of players, says that Tom Brady meant more than Bill Belichick. Others say that a coach has to get everybody on the same page and model and mold and so on and so forth. Then the fireback is, well, so does the quarterback. So I'm really interested from your perspective as a player who's played for a number of coaches, where have you seen the impact in a winning program? Has it been more with the coach, or has it been more with the quarterback or the proverbial star player?
To be honest with you, man, I genuinely believe it's a combination of both. It's, you know, I think both play a significant role. To me, anytime I see this argument or debate, or, you know, someone wants to debate with me about it, I think it's unfair to both, to Belichick and Brady. You know, I do believe that there's a little bit more that Belichick has to get done versus what Brady has to get done. You know, Brady found himself in a better position than Belichick was in. You know, who's to say that Belichick in 2 years won't find another quarterback and, you know, the Patriots are the Patriots again. You know what I mean? But then, and then is this conversation, you know what I mean? Does that change the conversation?
Yeah, I mean, if Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl, does it change the conversation?
Right.
If Bill Belichick has another losing season next year, does it change the conversation?
Right. You know, so many variables.
I mean, there, and we'll touch, we can touch on this right now. Rumors are screaming that if, for some reason, Houston bends and trades Deshaun Watson, the Patriots are going to be right up there. Even though it's against Belichick because of the money that's involved, they're saying that, they've seen how badly a quarterback is dire to the success of that system, that they would go out of character and go after Deshaun Watson and give up whatever's needed.
Right. And I mean, does Deshaun want to play for New England? Because he, you know,
yeah,
he has that no trade clause, so he can pretty much be like, no, I don't want to go play anyway.
Oh, yeah, he could turn around and say, I don't want to go play for Bill Belichick. He can determine where he wants to go. There's right. A lot of rumors floating around there. I mean, he's been tied to Indianapolis. He's been tied to San Francisco. You know, Houston came out, was it this morning or last night, and said, we're not trading him.
Yeah.
You know, because they just hired a new coach, which we are going to do deep dives on that during this program, on all the coaching hires that were made. You know, and which teams look to have made the right choice and you know, based on need and everything else and how it's going to affect the draft.
Right.
But, you know, the Deshaun Watson thing is going to be really interesting to watch. If Houston lets him go, I don't know if there's enough they can get in return.
There isn't. I mean,
yeah. I mean, what, three number one draft picks. Well, we know how many times have we seen first round draft picks a quarterback fail?
Right.
So there's no guarantee that what you're going to get in return in a draft pick is going to compensate for Deshaun Watson.
Right. Right.
I agree with you. I don't think there is enough you can get back to replace him. What you have to do is convince him that he is the guy,
right,
and that you go and you get weapons, because what they've done in the last 2 years has been, I mean, the Eagles were accused of tanking the last game of the year. You could argue the Houston's been accused of tanking the last 2 years with the trades they made. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins for a broken down running back?
Right. Yeah, I actually started to think that Bill O'Brien was trying to force his way out of Houston.
Well, from everything we're hearing, the GM is the reason everybody wants out.
Yeah.
Even Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
And yes, he made personnel moves, but apparently his desire to get out was they wanted to pull some of that away from him.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you get rid of Deshaun. I don't know how you don't do whatever you can to try to fix that problem. I mean, when you get to that level, you realize how important it is to have an elite guy at that position, because I think we're long past the days of you being able to get by with just an above average quarterback.
You know, we're going to take a quick time out. We're going to come back. I want to mention this. You have to be able to play the position.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to play the position consistently. You can't be, sorry, Cougar fans, Garner Minshew.
Yeah.
You can't have a nice little run in college and be flashy for a game or two and do this. You can't be, hate to say it, Nick Foles.
Right.
You've got to be able to do it consistently week in and week out. And if anything we have seen over the last decade at the starting quarterback position is there are very few that can.
Right.
And when you find one, and it's why, unfortunately, it's why so many NFL teams have put themselves back 5, 6, 7 years mm-hmm. reaching for a quarterback that everybody but them knows is not going to make it.
Right. What did Bill Walsh say? 7 billion people in the world, and you can't find 32 guys that can play quarterback?
Exactly. Absolutely. It's amazing. 32. I don't know if you can find 15. It's 120 Division I college programs, and how many can play quarterback at the next level? We're going to take a quick timeout, come back with more of the Locker Room News Radio 610 KONA after this. Back in the Locker Room, News Radio 610 KONA, presented by Jason Hoag, agent with American Family Insurance, Philly Rob, Keithon Fleming, hanging with you this Saturday morning. And Keithon, I want to dive in because we do not have any coaching vacancies now. Okay, we're going to go to the phones real quick.
Okay.
Because that's what we do as well. You're up in the Locker Room, News Radio 610 KONA. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name's Bruce. I'm in Richland.
What's on your mind, Bruce?
Well, I heard you talking about the Patriots, but didn't they get a most valuable player quarterback this year?
They had Cam Newton, and Cam Newton, let's face it, Cam's on the downside of his career. And so the Cam Newton that they got was not the Cam Newton of 5 years ago that took – roughly 5 years ago, maybe slightly more, that took the Carolina Panthers to the Super Bowl against the Broncos. Not the same player.
I watched them beat the Seahawks.
And that was early in the season. And, you know, Cam seemed to have a bit more energy earlier in the year than he did at the end of the year. And they did, you're right. But this is only the second losing season that Bill Belichick has had in New England. And, you know, they got a quarterback issue they need to address there, Bruce. Cam Newton was definitely not the answer, and he will not be back in New England next year.
Yeah.
Where's Cam Newton going to?
That's a good question. Cam will be a free agent. It was a one-year contract. Cam may retire. Who knows? But
I think Houston's looking for a quarterback.
No. They don't want to be looking for a quarterback. They want to keep Deshaun Watson. They don't want to trade him if they don't have to, but you know, Cam's got decisions in front of him, and there are 32 teams in the NFL, I think, after this year, Keithon. Tell me if I'm wrong, but they're not looking at him as a starter. They're looking at him as a backup.
Yeah, I think it's.
Hey, love your show. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Bruce. Go right ahead, Keithon.
Cam just, he hasn't looked healthy in, I want to say, 2-3 years. You know, even watching him throw the football in New England, it looked like it was painful. To like the shoulder just isn't repaired.
And it seems to, Cam Newton was always one of those guys that you could tell his performance was tied to his outlook on the game, his disposition. When he was having fun, he was 100% there in the game, moving forward, rallying teammates, you know, acting like the leader that you believed he was.
Right.
The last couple of years, whether it's the injuries or whether it was the direction things were going in Carolina or whatever it was, he hasn't had that. He hasn't looked like he's been having fun the last couple of years. And you think you've seen that on the field in his performance too?
Definitely. He doesn't come with the same energy that, you know, you're used to seeing Cam come with.
It's just he's been a different guy. So let's talk about the coaching hires because all of them are filled now.
Mm-hmm.
The latest was the Houston Texans. Got everybody scratching their heads. A couple teams have people scratching their heads. They bring on David Culley.
Culley.
Been in the NFL for a little bit. Coming from the Baltimore Ravens as the passing game coordinator and quarterbacks coach. I understand one aspect of the hire because he's just worked with Lamar Jackson. So you've got a similar style quarterback in Deshaun Watson. You've got an athletic guy that can use his legs to make plays as well as a rocket for an arm.
Right.
I get it in that sense, but I don't get it in the sense that most of the other teams, and you've seen this trend go for the last couple of years, guys that are working with quarterbacks like that or guys that are doing offenses are innovative.
Right.
And they're half David Culley's age.
Right.
David Culley's 65 years old. Nothing against David Culley and his age. But you look at the other hires, and these are all hot shots. These are all young guns. These are all guys that are offensive innovators that are bringing things to the table that, these owners want to see translate on the field. That's not David Culley. And I think it's sending, again, another message in Houston that, could we have gotten better? Could we have hired? I mean, Jim Caldwell was brought in for an interview.
Right.
Now, Jim Caldwell is considered one. And Jim Caldwell's not a spring chicken, but his offensive reputation is miles above David Culley's.
Right.
I mean, did David Culley take the cheap? Did Jim Caldwell want too much money? I mean, that's the only thing that I can think of. They didn't want to pay him.
Yeah. Did they just hire Levy Smith as a DC?
Houston?
Yeah, I just saw somebody hired Levy Smith.
Let me take a look real quick. I mean, Levy'd be a great hire.
I was thinking if you hired him for your defensive coordinator, I didn't even see that he was that.
Yep.
He didn't even get an interview for the head position. Now, I remember Culley from my time in Philadelphia.
yeah, I remember Culley when he was on the staff there, too, with Andy.
And I can't tell you what he did. And I'm just being honest. That, you know, I don't mean it in a disrespectful tone or anything, but I really don't remember.
He blended in. He didn't stand out.
Yeah, same with Coach Peterson. I remember him from my time there. Now, the difference is I remember what Coach Peterson was doing. He was in Andy's hip pocket. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what Coach Culley did. So.
He did hire Lovie Smith. Lovie is going to be the defensive coordinator. After spending the last 5 years as the head coach of Illinois, didn't exactly have a good run there. Winning percentage under 500.
Yeah, I don't know what Houston's doing, man.
Yeah, 17-39 for Illinois over the last few years. And, you know, he did have a good run with the Bears, but not a good run with Tampa Bay, and then went to the college game. But Lovie Smith, those defense. You know, let's see if he's got – I mean – guys that are good defensive coordinators tend to last for a while. Tom Capers comes to mind. Dick Durong comes to mind. I mean, these are guys that have systems that work. Lovey has a system that works.
Right.
So for Texas, but here's the other thing. And you look at Houston, and we won't spend a whole ton of time on Houston because I got to rip Doug Peterson apart yet. Houston had their window a couple years ago to move on from J.J. Watt, and they didn't. And now they're stuck. And J.J. Watt is one of the, by all accounts, one of the best human beings in the NFL.
Right.
But we know the business aspect of it. They had an opportunity to move on from J.J. Watt a couple years ago. They passed on it. And now they're stuck with this contract and a guy that can't stay healthy.
Right.
And that holds you back and hurts you. And so you bring Lovie Smith in to try and game plan around a defense. Who do you have left? You don't have anybody.
Yeah,
you know, we've seen, and look, we saw the invisible Clowney in Tennessee this year.
Yeah,
you know, Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt were a perfect 1-2 when they were healthy, because what we've learned about Jadeveon Clowney is that he hasn't found a double team he can get off of.
Right.
So he's great when he's on one offensive lineman.
Right.
But when they double team him, which they did in Tennessee and they did in Seattle.
Right.
He disappears.
Yeah.
So, you know, now you've got J.J. Watt by himself who's not healthy, that can't get off a double team, can't even get off a single guy now because of all the injuries that have racked up over the years. What do you have in Houston in defense for Lovie Smith to coach? The number one pick in next year's draft, maybe, if they go defense.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's good that I'm not a – you know, an avid Texas fan, so it doesn't.
I'm not either.
But you look at it and you scratch your head about the things that have gone on for the past 3 years.
This team if I remember correctly, have not had the number one pick in the draft since David Carr, when they were just coming into the league. They could have that again next year. And you want to talk about, they've been a proud franchise since they've come in. They haven't, they've had more success than they've had failures with that franchise since they've come in the league. They're going, they are steeply diving in the wrong direction. And I can't see Bob McNair, the owner, staying for it very long if they wind up with the number one pick again. I mean, that's coming full circle in a negative way.
Right.
And I could see him dumping the GM and moving in a whole new direction, even coaching staff, blowing right. everybody out and starting all over again.
Right.
I could see that happen if they wind up with the worst record in the league next year.
Well, I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, I thought this would have been the perfect time to do that anyway, you know, instead of waiting until you dig yourself into a hole for another 2 or 3 years.
So we talked a lot about Houston. Another team I don't know what they're doing is the Lions.
Yeah.
I mean, Dan Campbell was a hard-nosed player, and they talk about Dan Campbell, you know, being a good motivator, but Dan Campbell didn't do anything in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he'd
I didn't
do
even
anything.
Know he was on the staff.
Yeah, exactly. Here's another head scratcher for you. Yeah. And now they're gonna move Matt Stafford. So I mean, what are we gonna have a battle for the first pick between the Lions and the Texans next year? This is another head scratcher for me. This doesn't. I mean, Anthony Lynn's your offensive coordinator. Okay, he's got a good offensive mind. Chargers. You know, up and down, not a lot of, you know, it hasn't been a ton of consistency. You know, Justin Herbert's looked good at quarterback.
I really like him.
Justin Herbert's got potential to be really good in San Diego. Aaron Glenn's going to be a defensive coordinator. He's a hell of a defensive back.
Yeah.
You know, going to have the opportunity to show what he can do running a defense with a defense that doesn't have a lot to work with again.
Right.
I mean, here we are back to talking again about, you know, decisions and bad decisions and everything else. And the Lions were talking about coming into this search and making a difference, and they landed another dud.
You know, all I can think about is those long-time Cleveland Browns fans. And they're probably sitting back like, yeah.
Well, you know, the Lions are the only other team to go 0-16. They're the first one to do it. Could they do it again? I mean, I don't see this. And I don't consider myself, I consider myself to be slightly smarter than some of the people that are making these decisions when it comes to football, but I just don't get it. I mean, if I'm a Lions fan, I'm angry.
Yeah, very much so.
I'm angry.
Very much so.
I'm angry. I mean, you could have brought back your old quarterback, Kellen Moore, and made him the head coach.
Yeah.
And there would have been more excitement in Detroit than for Dan Campbell.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I look at the hires, and I see that nobody hired Bienemy, which, you know, I was 1,000% sure that that's what Houston was waiting on. That's why I thought that they waited so long was okay. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, they're going to hire the enemy. They just can't hire him right now because he's still playing.
Right.
And then.
Let's take a quick time out because I think I got a feeling why Eric Bieniemy didn't get a job this year. And it ties in to my Doug Peterson thoughts, which goes to Andy.
Oh yeah,
and
I think I have a feeling, but
and so we touch on that when we come back, because, and I'll be honest with you, maybe I'm one of the only guys that doesn't like the Jacksonville hire either.
Yeah, I'm not sold on that one either.
I don't like the Jacksonville hire. We're going to talk about Jacksonville.
And I like Urban,
and I Urban Meyer's had a lot of success at the college level. I think, you know, we'll talk about that when we get back. We'll talk about the Falcons hire, the Titans hire, and the Eagles hire. More of the Locker Room. News Radio 610 KONA around the corner. Back in the Locker Room. News Radio 610 KONA presented by Jason Hogue. agent with American Family Insurance. Set up an appointment with Jason. Check out. It's a new year. Why not? Talk to Jason and see if you can get a better insurance product with American Family Insurance by visiting his website, jasonhoag.com. Philly Rob, Keith on Fleming, talking the coaching hires. And so we'll start where we left off with Jacksonville, and they hire Urban Meyer, who has had success at every level in the coaching ranks. This just, to me, I don't like it. I don't like it for a lot of reasons. I mean, this to me is a ticket move. You know, this is we already know it didn't matter who the coach was. They're taking Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Okay. They're getting their quarterback. They're taking Trevor Lawrence with the first pick. We know this. Doesn't matter if it's Urban Meyer or somebody else.
Right.
You've got your SEC tie. You know, I mean, Florida had a lot of success. You got your tie there with the fans in Jacksonville, bringing the guy back at the pro ranks that had so much success at the college ranks in that town. Trevor Lawrence. You know, the ACC kid out of Clemson had, you know, won the national championship. But here's the problem with Urban Meyer, and that's what I don't like about Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer's window of success has always been small.
Very.
It's always been small. And one of the things about, and if Urban Meyer had to leave after certain amounts of time at the coaching ranks because of what the level of stress was, why is he taking an NFL job? I mean, it's going to be even more. The window inside, I think what we saw with the difficult transition from college to the NFL was Steve Spurrier. And the in-depth stories that were done about Spurrier when he was in Florida, he was on the golf course at 4 in the afternoon. He was on the golf course at 4. He couldn't do that with the Redskins.
Right.
And he did do that with the Redskins, and that's why they were so god-awful, thankfully. But it is a whole different. You are yes, you're a coach, but you're more of a manager at the college level.
Right.
I mean, Nick Saban has it down to a T.
Right.
You know, does Nick Saban go on recruiting visits? Not that often.
I'm about to say, you have to be a guy.
But when Nick Saban goes on a recruiting visit, he signs at Alabama.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but he manages all of it.
Yeah.
And you have to be a coach in the NFL.
Right.
Yes, you need to be a manager, but you still need to be a coach. Guys are calling plays at the head coaching level.
Right.
You know, they're not overseeing the coaching of plays like they are at the college level.
Right.
So I do not like this hire for Jacksonville at all. They don't have a good system in place. They don't have a track record of success. If you are New England and you bring in Urban Meyer, maybe it's a different story.
Right.
But you're Jacksonville, and you're asking this guy to build something. The best coach in the history of college football was a failure in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because you can't build that system in the NFL. It's a whole different system.
Yep.
Urban Meyer is not going to be able to build the system. In my opinion, I hope he proves me wrong, but I don't like this hire. This is a ticket hire. This is a flash hire for
me. Yeah. I felt the same. You know, when I saw that they hired him, and then you look at all the pieces that play into it. You know, like you mentioned, him being at Florida. You know, number one pick. I'd agree. I thought this was a ticket hire.
I really want to get your thoughts on this one, because the Atlanta Falcons, who have so much talent on offense and have underachieved ever since they blew that 25-point lead to the Patriots. I mean, they I like Dan Quinn, but they held on to Dan Quinn too long. Yeah. Dan Quinn should have been fired 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And all they've done is waste and watch Julio get older and Matt Ryan get older, and you know they've made some questionable decisions in the draft. And to me, if I am Atlanta, I'm trading Julio Jones for a couple reasons. One, you're going to get more return than you are with Matt Ryan, and two, give the guy a chance to go somewhere and win, because he has been without a doubt the best player on that team. And for a number of years, the best wideout and the most uncoverable wideout in the NFL. Give Julio a chance to win somewhere.
Right.
But if you're Arthur Smith, and I think they've got the number 4 pick or the number 5 pick?
I think it's number 4.
They got the 4 pick in the draft. if you're Arthur Smith, you have just rehabilitated Ryan Tannehill's career. Okay, a guy who was on the scrap heap comes into Tennessee, and you just rejuvenated that man's career. Do you stick with Matt Ryan, or do you draft a quarterback at four?
Well, I tell you, the first thing I'm doing is I'm calling Saban to see if he has another Derrick Henry.
He does. And but do you take it before? I mean, Najee is he has transformed himself into a fine running back. I mean, not just a guy that can pound it through the tackles, but a guy that can catch the ball too. But do you take him at four? That's the question.
I don't know that I necessarily take him at four, but I also want to make sure I'm careful about the precedent that I'm setting to Matt Ryan if I plan on keeping him.
We'll talk about that after we go to the phones. You're up in the locker room, News Radio 610 KNA. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Daniel Kennaway.
What's up, Daniel?
Well, you talk about that college coach that transitioned to the pros. Wasn't it Pete Carroll,
Pete Carroll was not a college coach first, and I hate every time I see people that say this because Pete Carroll was a longtime NFL defensive coordinator before he went to USC, and he was also the head coach for the New England Patriots before he went to USC. Yeah. Pete Carroll was an NFL coach and took a job at USC. He was not a college coach first.
Okay, but then who were you saying is the best college to pro coach?
The best coach in the history of college football is Nick Saban, and he failed at the NFL level. Right. He went to Miami after he won a national championship with LSU. He flamed out in Miami and left there early, paid back a bunch of his contract to go to Alabama.
Well, then who? There is none.
No. My comment was that the best coach in the history of college football didn't make it in the NFL.
Right.
Okay. You have had coaches. The first coach that went from college football without any pro experience and had success was Dick Vermeil.
Okay, to switch up a little bit. Hey, what do you think about that Tampa Bay Green Bay game last week? And do you please give me your odds on Brady and the Bucks being able to take that machine down of Kansas City. I got to know.
Well, Daniel, you're going to have to wait a week because otherwise we got nothing to talk about next week.
Okay. All right. I'm out.
But I'll tell you what, Daniel, what we will do, and I'll start with Keith on, is give me your thoughts on Tampa Bay's performance against Green Bay and what they did to stymie Aaron Rodgers.
I didn't get to watch much of the Tampa Green Bay game. I caught bits and pieces of it, but I was shocked to see when I did turn it on. It was like, I think 21-7 or 21-10, and I was thinking, whoa. And I can remember texting one of my buddies who coaches with me. He's a Green Bay fan. And I sent him a text message. He didn't respond.
The biggest difference between that game and the game that they had in week two, because it would have been a carbon copy, is Brady's second half with the three picks. That allowed Green Bay to get back in that game.
That I thought that was crazy. I've never seen, you know, some of those passes were consecutive. It was like a
it was three. It was almost three in a row.
Yeah.
It was almost three in a row. I think it was three out of four were picks. Yeah.
And two of them to the same guy.
We'll touch on that after we go to the phones. You're up on the Locker Room News Radio 610 KNA. Your name, where are you calling from?
Yeah, I appreciate all that you're saying about NFL coaches, college coaches, and all that stuff. But we tend to forget about Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson was successful in college and then really successful in the pros.
Yes, he was. Won the national championship in Miami and won three Super Bowls in Dallas. And Jimmy was two Super Bowls in Dallas. I'm sorry. Jimmy was what made people begin to look at college coaches again. His success is what, you know. But then Jerry Jones made that comment, anybody can win with this team. He brings Barry Switzer in. Barry wins, you know, Super Bowl III for the Cowboys in that era, and then the team just goes downhill because Barry Switzer wasn't Jimmy Johnson.
Right. And there's not very many Jimmy Johnsons, if any.
Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. No, absolutely, there aren't. Two of those picks were not on Brady.
No, they weren't.
One was on Mike Evans,
yeah.
And the other one was on Leonard Fournette,
yeah.
Because he missed the block.
Yeah,
I mean, Brady, that last interception in that half that Brady threw, and you could see, and there was a shot on the sideline of Brady giving everybody hell.
Yeah.
Because of those last two picks. I mean, Mike Evans, that was the second pass that went off Mike Evans'
right.
hands in that game.
Right.
And that one wound up being an interception. Fournette missed the block, and Brady threw that ball so he didn't get killed.
Right.
And he just ducked that baby out there. And, right. yeah, it got picked by the same guy. But that pick was Fournette's fault. The other one was on Mike Evans.
I can't imagine being in that locker room after having just missed that block and having to deal with Mr. Brady.
Tell you what, Leonard Fournette, and I will say this about Tom Brady, and then we're going to get to the rest of the picks. But I'm going to say this about Tom Brady real quick. Leonard Fournette was considered a problem in Jacksonville. Leonard Fournette was not a problem when he got to Tampa Bay. Antonio Brown was a problem, considered a problem in Pittsburgh, not a problem when he played with Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Same thing with LeGarrette Blount.
Mm-hmm.
What's everything in common? Tom, guys want to play with Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Back with more after this. Final few minutes here in the locker room. News Radio 610 KONA, presented by Jason Hogue, agent with American Family Insurance. Philly Rob, Keith on Fleming, going right to the phones. You're up on the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Bruce. I'm in Kennewick.
What's up, Bruce?
Well, I've been an indoor football fan for quite a while. Big-time fever. Got burned on the fire. But I bought season passes for the Tri-City Rush, and I just kind of wanted to emphasize the Rush with their ownership, and hopefully you get to talk about it one of these weeks.
Oh, well, we talked about it. We had them on last week. We had Brandon Tate and Matt Cooley on with us last week for the beginning of the program, and the guy sitting across from me is going to be wearing that uniform this year. Keithon Fleming will be a running back for the Rush this year, so...
Yeah, with hearing your program last week, that's why I bought season passes that day.
Fantastic, Bruce. I'm glad
thank you for your support.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I feel really good. And thanks for the call, Bruce. I feel really good about what Brandon and Matthew want to build there. And
right.
obviously, getting you to buy in, no small feat.
Yeah, not by any means.
no small feat. I mean,
yeah.
You deciding to come back and play for them this year.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a statement in and of itself.
Yeah, I've explained to them, like, hey, you know, what I had to do to get the approval at home, you know. So, you know, we got to make sure we do things right, and especially for this community.
And look, and let's lay this out on the table. And I know we can push this off to the rest of these coaching hires next week, even the Eagles one, which, you know, near and dear to both of our hearts.
Yeah.
The bodies take a lot of abuse at the NFL level. Okay, and I'm not trying to take anything away from staffs that are assembled at lower levels of professional football, but they're not the same.
Right.
The abuse your body takes in the indoor game, you're playing on concrete.
Yeah.
Okay, you're playing on turf on top of concrete.
Yeah.
You get beat up a little bit more. The body takes a little bit more punishment. And I've known you for a long time.
Yeah.
But that means that we're both getting older. And so
I've embraced it. My wife would tell you, man, I've embraced it. I know I am where I am age wise, and you know fortunately I'm still in pretty good shape. You know, the only thing that I look at is the day after the game. That is where the struggle comes in.
I have never met your wife, so I can't speak for her. But what I can say, this is in comparison. You're one of the toughest players I've ever seen play at the indoor level. Jim Brown is one of the toughest players I've ever seen play in the NFL. And that's on video, obviously. I wasn't live during Jim Brown's career, but I've seen plenty of video of Jim Brown running through and over people. And Jim Brown uses a cane. I don't think your wife wants that for you, and that's why... Yeah, you got little ones that she wants you to be healthy for and everything else. And so, you know, doing this last run, I consider you a good friend, and I'm glad that we get to spend this time when we do on the air. Yeah. But if you want to see somebody play this game the way it's supposed to be played, you get your tickets to a Rush game, and you go watch this guy play for the last time this season. I'm telling you right now, when I was working with the Fever, and you came on board, that's kind of how we built this friendship.
Yeah.
I walked up to him after a game, and I shook his hand and introduced myself, and I said, and then this was during a down year.
Yeah, yeah.
And, man, I could see the look on your face.
I remember that.
I could see the look on your face, and you were not a happy camper. You were frustrated. You were walking out the door. And the only thing I had to say was I really appreciate the way you play the game because.
And that's really stuck with me.
Because there's a lot of guys around him that season that all they did was go for the pizza.
Yeah.
And you could see the look on your face that you wished there were as many guys on the field that cared as much about what was going on as you did.
Right.
And it stood out. They were getting killed that game. Yep. You guys were losing by like 30 points.
Yeah, I remember.
And you didn't quit. He's the only guy on the field that didn't quit. And I think you had 3 or 4 touchdowns in that game. And what a guy does on the field stands out. I'm a Philly guy. What can I say? That's kind of how we like our athletes.
Yeah.
They don't quit. This guy never quit. Never has quit his entire career. That's why he's a legend in West Texas. And he's a legend here in indoor football. So get your tickets for the Rush to see this guy play his final season in professional football.
Yep, this is it.
He'll be back with me next week as we break down Super Bowl 55.